Reading from Romans 7:15-25a. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Matthew 11:16-19 and 25-30. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he was a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Do you ever feel like you just can't win? Just can't seem to do the right thing? I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I do want to do. I love that reading. I'm glad it wasn't me that had to read it all, because Paul is great going around in circles, isn't he? Some of his writing is like, I think he was trying to do like almost like tongue twisters. And, you know, you read something like that and you sort of end up a bit, where are we going with this? And didn't he just say that? But who here sometimes do things that they don't want to do? Who sometimes don't do the things that they do want to do? So we can relate. Oh, so I'll just check, there isn't actually anyone here that's perfect, is there? Is there hands up? No? No, good. Good. Yeah, I'm in good company then. And then in the gospel reading, John the Baptist came not eating or drinking as most people would, and then Jesus came eating and drinking, and they both got criticised. So what are you supposed to eat and drink or not eat and drink? You can't please everyone all the time, can you? Have you found that? Yeah, no, don't even bother trying. You just can't. There'll always be someone that will criticise. So what are we supposed to do? Well, if we look at the end of the gospel reading, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." Who's all felt weary and burdened at times? Maybe even right now? Yep. Isn't it good to share burdens? You know, I remember one sermon, I don't know if it was a children's story or in the sermon, but we had a minister said, I got someone to come up and sit on a chair like that, and said, got someone else to come up to try and lift it with one finger. Well, they couldn't, could they? But then they got, you know, half a dozen people around to use one finger, and they were able to lift the chair with the person sitting on it. The burden isn't as great when it's shared, is it? So imagine being yoked to Jesus. I can't think of anyone better to be yoked to. Because when you think of yoking, you know, I've only seen in pictures or films or whatever, but the yoke, like the oxen, like one can't go somewhere without the other. Like you just can't go wandering off on your own and do your own thing. But I think as Christians at times, we do things that we don't want to do. Did I mention that? Yeah. I think at times we go, it's okay, Jesus, I'll just take this off for a bit. I'll be back. Because I just want to do this thing that I know I shouldn't be doing because you're not there. But I still want to do this, all right? Because I think this is really important. And then it's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. Let's come. Can I have that yoke back on? Can we continue now? You feel what life's a bit like that at times? Yeah. We do things that we shouldn't do. But then the important thing is that we come back and we go, I'm sorry, I was wrong again. Please yoke me with you and walk with me again. Let me follow you. And this yoking, I sort of thought, it's a bit like, who do we hang around? Other than me that hangs around with prisoners, is beside the point. So I say, don't mess with me, I know someone. But who do we hang around with? You know, particularly young people when they're growing up, who do they hang around with? The peer pressure. Who are they yoked to? Who do they look up to? Who do they try and follow? You know, sometimes they look up to, it might be a singers or actors. And they try to emulate these people. It might be that they get into the wrong crowd. They're yoked with that. And we don't like our kids or our grandkids. Some here might even have great-grandchildren. We want them to be yoked to the right people, don't we? Best if they're yoked with Jesus. So that goes for anyone of any age. Anyone of any age. And part of me coming today was, because I've got the microphone, so I can talk about anything I want to talk about. And my passion is prison ministry. When we think about a lot of people that are in prison, the people that they've been yoked with haven't necessarily been good influences on their life. And we don't all start in the same place in life. Some people are born already addicted to drugs. If the mother's an addict, then the child is born with an addiction. We don't all start the same place. If that child is then brought up by that family, there's a good chance that drugs will just be part of their everyday life. That's all they know. And chances are they're not very well looked after because the parents are probably high all the time. They don't learn basic skills. They go off to school if they go, and they're hungry. Some schools have breakfast programs. But they don't learn right from wrong. You know, I know that, you know, like most kids, I thought I had a hard upbringing. Looking back, I had a blessed upbringing. You know, I thought it was hard because what it ended up being was that my parents actually cared and they were Christians, brought up in the church. Looking back, I say thank you, God, for the family that I was given. Not everyone's blessed with that. I know women that are in prison that it's kind of a family business, all the family's in. You know, some are even sharing cells with them, like mother-daughter sharing cells. And dad's in the men's prison, uncle and aunts, cousins are in the prisons. How do we expect them to know how to do good and not to do wrong. Because we often think people in prison, oh, they deserve to be there. Well, for some of the things that they've done, yeah, they do need to be taken out of society for everyone's safety. But then, as Christians, we remember that Jesus came for everyone, particularly the lost. So in actual fact, he probably came more for them than us. But we do know that he came for us as well. And so chaplains, we go into the prisons and we share God's love. We accept people for who they are. We don't ask them what they've done. It's none of our business why they're in prison. They've already been judged. It's not our role. Our role is to love them as Christ called us to love them, as Christ loves us, even when we keep doing the wrong thing. And I often say to them, we can't change the past. Whatever's happened has happened. But what do you want the future to look like? How can we work towards that? And for anyone that's done time, changing their future is very hard. I mean, accommodation is hard for anyone at the moment. I don't know if it's just Queensland, but for anyone, there's hard-working people that are homeless. So who are they going to lease houses to? You know, the rentals. They're going to have it to people that can afford it. You're not going to put someone that's got a criminal record because, well, that's high risk. So there's no accommodation. And when it comes to a job, how many people, if you're running a job, are you going to give it to a person that is good standing in the community, maybe in a loving family if it's a young person, that you know that they're a good family, you know? Or are you going to give it to someone that's got a criminal record? Without asking why, I mean, they could have been falsely accused for all we know. But logic is, we'll give it to the person that we know is a good person, upstanding. And that's not a criticism on us. That's just human nature. If we're wanting to take people into a company or into a house that we own, we want to try and make it as low risk as possible, don't we? But on the other hand, we want these people to get their life sorted out and be hardworking people in our community. So wait a minute, how is that supposed to happen? And the other thing is, as a church, as I say, the chaplains go in and there are people in there that come to know Christ. They give their hearts to Christ. They become Christians. And you know what? That means they're part of our family. Because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And not everyone appreciates this, but can I just remind you whose church this is? Can you tell me whose church this is? God's church. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming here. I know my parents down in Brisbane, the church they're going to, they've probably been going to for probably about 60 years now. That's not their church. It's where they attend. They're members of it. It's God's church. Who's welcome in God's church? Everyone. Now, that could be hard to swallow. Because, you know, there's some pretty nasty people out there that have done some pretty bad things. But if they come here either already being part of our Christian family because they've come to know Christ, or if they're coming to check out a bit more about it, because when I was in prison I heard a bit about this, so I thought I might explore it a bit more. What do? We need to welcome them. Not blindly. People have weaknesses. There are people, like, if someone's done time for fraud, don't go, oh, you'd make the perfect treasurer. Yeah, no. If there's been, you know, if there's been people that have done horrendous crimes against children, you've got to say, oh, would you like to be the Sunday school superintendent? No. It's a bit like you've got a friend that's been going to AA, gone 6 months dry, Oh, let's celebrate and go to the pub. Yeah, no, you're not going to do that. I think we'll go for a coffee. You don't take people to where they're going to be tempted, where their weaknesses are. So we need to do it wisely, but we need to do it. We need to keep the community and them safe. We need to be supporting them. We need to be encouraging them to be yoked with Christ. Because some of those have got pretty heavy burdens. I was talking to someone a bit earlier about, was talking about forgiveness. And it might be that at the moment there's people that aren't sorry for what they did. They may have taken someone's life. They mightn't care. But if they come to know Christ, they might start to care. Can you imagine the burden and the guilt that these people might feel? They come to know Christ, they come to experience love, and they've got to then live with that, with what they've done. You know, and you can't undo what you've done. I mean, how many times, and I, as I say, I can talk, but I can't sing, but, you know. And sometimes I talk and then it's like, probably shouldn't have said that. I can't take it back. It's like you throw a plate on the ground, it smashes. That probably wasn't a good idea. Can we just put that back together? It's not going to work. The people in prison, they might be really sorry for what they've done. Are we called to keep crucifying them? If God's forgiven them, that's what we're called to do. And some people say, forgive and forget. Yeah, no, I'm not in line with that. Forgive and learn. We can forgive people. Someone might be, you know, you might have a neighbour that's the nastiest person around. You can forgive them, but you're not going to put yourself in a vulnerable position with them because you know that they can't be trusted. To forgive. And forgiving is letting go and letting God. It's cutting that tie. If you don't forgive, if you hang on to the bitterness, the resent, they're still controlling you. The only person you're hurting is yourself. They don't care. And they can continually hurt you. But forgiveness isn't saying that what they did was okay. I remember speaking to a couple of young men at Woodford Prison one time, and they were telling me that their uncle was in protective custody for crimes that he did against one of their cousins. It was his niece. And I'm talking about forgiveness. Now, that's a pretty hard conversation to have. I said, mate, forgiveness is not saying that what he did was okay. I will never say what he did was okay because it wasn't. It was very wrong. What I'm saying is you need to forgive and let God worry about him, because they'd said that if they got their hands on him, they'd kill him. And I can understand you wanting to do that, but what use are you going to be to your cousin when you're doing extra time in prison for having wasted so many years on your life because of him? It's not worth it. You need to forgive, you need to cut that tie, do your time here, get out and be there with your cousin and help her to have a good life. Forgive, let go, let God. Now, I'm not pretending that's easy. I've got two ex-husbands. Sometimes I've got to revisit that and keep asking, please help me forgive. There's things that really hurt. It's really hard sometimes. But we need to do it. Because we're forgiven as Christ has forgiven us. We need to forgive others. It's a gift that we need to keep on giving. And as I say, there's people in prison that have done some horrendous things. And I'm not saying that that was okay. But what I'm saying is that just as God forgives us, and I'm sure we'll keep doing things that we know we shouldn't do, and there'll be things that we know we should do that we won't do, and we will keep going, "Did it again, God, I'm sorry." That we need to pass that on to other people. And the prayer is that we keep coming back to Christ and being yoked with Christ so he can guide us and we can learn from him, a bit like a master and an apprentice, learning from him, guiding him, showing us the right way, helping us to do the right thing, but encouraging other people. It's building disciples, nurturing other people, encouraging them to come under Jesus' yoke and to thrive so that we can all become the people that God created us to be. So I just pray that you'll think about some of the things I've said. I know not everyone's always happy with what I have to say, because it can be a bit of a challenge, and I appreciate that. But I do put it to you that as you ponder on today's readings, that think about it for yourself, but also how can I help others to walk that journey? Amen.